This is Summer Sound on AM 1450 and KBPS.AM. Right now, we are joined by Benson's Spanish teacher, Señorita Arias. Hi, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Hola, ¿cómo están? Yes. I'm happy to be here.
Woo! So, we have some questions.
So, we heard you took a group of students on an educational summer trip to Puerto Rico. How did that go?
Yeah, it was amazing. We spent 7 days in Puerto Rico, and we traveled all over the island. It was really cool because it was really small. Only seven students from Benson attended, and we actually traveled with a big group of kids from Scappoose and a small group of kids from Michigan. Yeah, but it was amazing, and I think overall our favorite, like a joint favorite thing, was swimming in the bioluminescent bay. Ooh. If you haven't looked up what a bioluminescent bay is, please look it up. There's
isn't it like where like especially at night, where just your movements will cause the bioluminescent bacteria to just like,
yeah,
oh my god, they're so beautiful.
It's really cool. I just remember like we were all in awe, and just, it was dark and it was quiet, like they asked us to stay quiet at that time, I just remember like taking my arm out of the water from like underwater and just seeing the beads of water drop down my like skin, and I was like, I'm glittering, this is amazing. Puerto Rico was amazing, and everybody should go.
How do you think the educational trip compares to just learning about Puerto Rico in the classrooms?
Well, this was like typical Benson Polytechnic. It was very hands-on, so they got to visit the places that you would learn about in regard to Puerto Rico. So we visited Old San Juan, which is the capital, and we did a walking tour there, so we got to learn so much stuff see it all there and like touch it. Like we got to touch the walls, and everybody loved running into cats and touching the cats. I think much more than learning about Puerto Rico and seeing pictures, like, yeah, the pictures of the bioluminescent bay don't do it justice. Like, it was so much more cool to be in that water and see it all and feel it than to, like, look at a picture online and be like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I heard, like, same thing about, like, when, just, you know, stargazing just generally, especially with when you're outside of the city and there's no light pollution. Yeah. The pictures just don't do it justice to the sky.
Yeah. And actually, now that you mentioned that, Grady, like the sky that night was amazing. And the driver of the boat would like point out the constellations to us, and we would look, and we went out there. Is it okay if I mention students' names?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So one of the students that went on the trip was like Katima. And when we were out there on the boat, just like going full speed toward the bioluminescent bay, she's native, and she was just like, I want to do like my native cry right now so bad. It was just like the perfect scenario. It was totally dark, totally quiet. It was just a really cool experience.
Yeah.
Awesome. What else did you guys do while you were on your, while you guys were out there? Do you have, besides the bioluminescent bay, are there any other favorite memories from Puerto Rico, maybe even past trips?
Yeah, something else that was really cool was that we got to make our own mofongo, which is a traditional dish of Puerto Rico that's made with fried plantains. Ooh. And all of my students got to make it literally with their hands. Like, they used all the tools, they gave us all of the ingredients, and then we got to eat what we made. So it was like, that was a really cool experience. We also went scuba diving. Oh, sorry, not scuba diving, snorkeling. We went snorkeling. That was also very fun. I think overall my students really appreciated the time that we had near water. So at the beach, we also went to El Yunque, which is a national rainforest, which we found, or just before leaving, I found out it's not the only rainforest in the United States. United States, the Ho rainforest, which apparently is north of us in Washington, also has a rainforest. So that's cool. But yeah, going to this tropical rainforest and swimming in the river, that was very cool. We heard the national frog, the coqui, which sounds yes, just coqui. Like that. Some of my students were swimming in the pool late at night. And as I was leaving, going back to the hotel room, I heard the coqui and I was like, oh my gosh, there's one near here. And I like ran back to the pool and I told the kids and they like ran out and we were all trying to find it. We didn't see it, but we did definitely hear it.
Okay.
Yeah. We also, this is different, but we befriended the owner of a, what's the like ice cream that you like, rolled ice cream?
Mm.
Yeah. So we befriended this person and, like we went to her shop like 3 days out of the 7 days that we were there. So she remembered us and we got these like Dubai chocolate strawberries on the last day that we were there. And yeah, it was very cool. You should all ask like students what they thought of it firsthand. Cause of course I'm an adult. I guess I'm easily entertained, but students probably have like different stories and they can probably tell you all of the, things that happened that maybe I wasn't aware of.
Or maybe like things that they learned.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was cool. I got to hear students like say, I'm coming here next year when I turn 18. Like the fact that they felt confident enough to go back or to want to go back. They had a really good time. I also heard a student say, when I have kids and I tell them about when I went to Puerto Rico or like when I bring my kids to Puerto Rico in the future, I'm going to tell them all about this trip. So that was really cool.
So, you know, speaking to other students, other than all the people here at Summer Sound, first day of school is coming up.
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm actually starting to get excited because I'm moving to a new classroom. So I got to start moving in yesterday and I had some friends help me just take things out of my car and into my classroom. So setting up a new classroom is always fun. I'm excited. I'm teaching Spanish 1-2 this year. So I'm basically getting anybody that is starting to learn Spanish. And then I'm also teaching 5-6, which is going to be our only like advanced level class. And I already looked at Student View and looked at who my class is like made up of. And I'm very excited.
Awesome. That's good.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, what are some pros and cons you're expecting for this upcoming school year? And what are your thoughts on the new cell phone policy? And what would that look like in the classroom? Maybe even like yours?
Yeah. I think, well, that's going to be a pro and a con. This cell phone policy, I think, is the biggest thing that I'm worried about this year. Not worried necessarily, but I think that it's going to be a learning curve for a lot of us. I also, as I was moving stuff out of my garage and into my classroom, I brought back my little cell phone jail. And then I was like, wait, I don't think I'm going to be able to, or I'm not going to need this anymore because students aren't technically supposed to bring their cell phones. So like, I think, well, I guess I don't know what happens if I catch a student with a cell phone.
Maybe having the cell phone jail like by your desk is always good, just in case if a student does have it.
Right. Maybe. And then like hold on to it and give it to them at the end of the day. Yeah. I don't know what the rules of the policy are except for off and away, even during lunch.
So for some of the listeners, could you just refresh us on what exactly the policy is?
Yeah. Okay. So right now, the way that it's supposed to work is if you catch a student on their cell phone, you are supposed to take it from them. And if they do not give it to you, then we have to call like a security guard to come and like tell the student to give up the phone. And at least for me, the way I was doing it was if it happened once, I'll give it back to you at the end of the class period. Just give it to me now. Like, let's just end this battle. And then if it happened more than once, it was like, okay, dude, like, I'm going to give this to the office. But that doesn't always work. I don't know. I'm somebody who has ADD, and I think that impacts me in the classroom a lot because I have, like, so many things to worry about that, like, the cell phone is, like the least of my, like, I don't want to worry about that.
Yeah.
I'd rather worry about something else. So, like, if you don't give me the phone, like, I'm just going to call security and then, like, let them deal with it. Yeah. But if you give it to me, like, I'll probably just give it back to you at the end of the class. But that's what it's supposed to be. And there was an option last year to get, like, a cell phone locker so that students could, like, lock up their cell phones if they got taken away or if the teacher had some sort of policy. Like, I know that in some of the CTE classes, like, in electric, it's like, well, you don't get the tools unless you bring me your phone. So you have to check in your phone to get the tools. But I think that in a classroom like mine, Spanish, like, what am I going to do? Like, not give you a pencil? Like, you don't get the worksheet if, like, if you don't give me your phone. I don't know. It's silly. But it's going to impact my classroom because I want, like, students to make, like, videos of them speaking Spanish. And I can't, well, now I won't have the option to be like, okay, Razor, Grady, you two are going to go film your skit outside of my classroom for like 5 minutes. You can't do that anymore because you don't have a cell phone.
Nope.
So it's fun because now I'm like, oh, digital cameras. Oh my gosh, I haven't had, I mean, I had a digital camera when I was in high school and I was taking photos of everything. And so now I'm like asking all of my friends, like, do you have a digital camera just collecting dust somewhere that I can have so that now I have, so that I can have digital cameras in my classrooms that students can then use to film or to like take photos? Because another thing that they can do is like go to manufacturing and label all of the tools that you use, like put them in English and Spanish and take a picture. This, you can't do that if you don't have a phone. Digital cameras, I think. Maybe we'll be making a comeback? I don't know.
Hopefully. This reminds me because DMP has a bunch of cameras.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think I was talking to Miss Miko last year about how we need to create some sort of like
some
checkout station.
Oh, yeah.
From DMP to be like, hey, my students are going to do this like video project. Can we check out the cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also having like a classroom set or just like a couple backups, I think would be a good idea.
Yeah. So continuing on the topic of electronics, what do you think of Colin Kaepernick's AI that PPS is testing?
First of all, I was very offended that Benson staff wasn't invited to the event, especially because it was held here. Yeah. It was only for leadership, whatever that means. Well, I mean, I think we know what that means. I think like administrators and maybe some teachers that are higher up. I don't know. But yeah, when I saw it online, I was like, wait, that would have been cool if we were invited. So that was my big thing with him coming to Benson, not necessarily the AI. Yeah, this AI, I don't know. It seems like another thing that the school district is like, here, try this and see if it works or like see if it helps you. But I think that they forget that with all these new technologies that they want to bring into the classroom, we also have to learn how to use them. And I think right now AI is so new that maybe some people don't know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure that in my classroom, I've had students use like ChatGPT, but it's obvious that they've used it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, I mean, this one student in particular will like put in the wrong topic. So like, for example, I asked, can you write me a paragraph on the Spanish Civil War? And he was like, can I use ChatGPT? And I was like, yeah, sure, go for it. And then the next day he turned in his work and it was a paragraph on the American Civil War. So I was like, this is great, but you got the, so like, that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't know how to use it very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or at least I think people don't know how to use it very well. But yeah, I don't know. I need to do more research on AI because I'm pretty sure it has a really big environmental impact.
It does.
Do you know more about that? Can you share?
I think a lot of the discourse is about its water consumption and I think also its heat output, but that is just, that might not be true, so don't quote me on it.
Right. Yeah, I think that there's a lot that we need to look up. I did hear from a student who I was briefly talking to the other day that they did ask Colin Kaepernick this question, like, hey, what about the environmental impact of your of the AI? And from what I gathered, he kind of like pushed the question away and was just kind of like, oh, well, we all know that it's like bad for the environment and we're all trying really hard to make it better, but what does that entail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it like for example, like me, like, do I need to research more into this? Like, do you all need to research more into this? Is that what you're saying? Like, we're doing extra, or like, we're trying to catch up? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the bummer part of it.
This is making me wonder, from a teacher's perspective, how do you think AI can be used properly and improperly for education? And do you think maybe AI even has a place in the classroom at all?
I think that AI is probably, well, at least the times that I have used it, helpful for getting my ideas together. So I think that it could be a good way to like start maybe an assignment on a specific topic. It may be a good idea for it to like, for it to summarize things for you, condense it, reword it in a way that maybe you will understand. I can imagine. I don't know. I don't have that much familiarity with using it. But I feel like it could have some use in the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of risks that come with AI, but it also has a lot of benefits. I mean, for one, AI, there is an issue that has been discussed on length, and it's AI hallucinations. I don't know if it's still quite as much of an issue, but it's where an AI just kind of makes things up or does something weird with how they process it. Basically, in AI, unless you know an extensive amount on a topic, it's kind of hard to tell if what an AI is summarizing is actually true, and if it's just like pulling random information out and making something up. But on the other hand, AI is incredibly good at processing a lot of information very quickly.
Yeah.
So that is that's why it's being used in the sciences a lot.
Yeah.
Being used for all these medical advancements, all these scientific advancements, because it can process this information so much faster than we can and help us in these advancements.
Yeah.
But once again, I mean, for generative and for summarizing and all that, it's hard to tell if what it's talking about is true or not.
Yep. Right. Because I know with like, if we're using it to summarize stuff like that, it's just a lot of plagiarism, because it won't cite what sources have been used to gather the information or who the information is from. I know, for example, like it could be used as a tool, because like I know, for example, here at the radio station, if like we don't have enough studios and we have to record off of a computer or a Chromebook or whatever, or our phones, we'll run that through an AI enhancer that Adobe has, and you can pick what level, how much, if you want 100% AI or if you want a 0% AI.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use it just to get rid of background noise and to enhance my audio, but I don't put it at 100% because it will not sound like me. And it'll, if it's used as a tool, then it's fine. But if it's used to do the work for you, so like, as you said, that one kid had, did the assignment on the American Civil War instead of the Spanish Civil War, then I think that's kind of where it's starting. Because, like, again, where did it get the sources?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Plagiarism, I guess.
Yeah, I think, like anything, we probably have to learn how to not misuse it. How to use it, I guess, the right way. The best way, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of something related to this topic, but I forgot. Typical of me.
Okay. Well, moving on. How much do you think AI will be used at Benson and PPS as a whole?
I don't know. Okay, let's think about like the CTEs or the CTE classes, which is like what I think of when I think of Benson. In construction, I don't think so, right?
Oh, no. How do I hammer this?
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're doing like some sort of research project on like types of wood, I don't know. In electric, I don't know. Could it be? Could it be
maybe,
electric?
Maybe.
Techniques.
Techniques for wiring.
Techniques. Okay.
Maybe if you need to do some complicated calculations when like compare that. But I feel like all those things aren't too difficult to where you can do them without AI.
Yeah.
I also feel like the teachers do a good enough job to kind of explain some general ideas.
Right. In the medical field, I mean, you agree that it's used at an advanced level. I don't think we could use AI in the medical field where we are, at the high school level.
At the level of research and development and inventing new stuff, it's absolutely being used. But the level of learning how to be a dentist and nursing and I always forget the third. Isn't it emergency service stuff?
Yeah,
isn't that the third
I think it's just
health
like
occupation?
In general, like a generalization of all of them, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, like just studies and stuff. Just
yeah.
So that
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess in DMP, there's the big problem, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
in digital media, like the goal is originality. I would hope the goal is originality.
Yeah.
And if you use AI, like, well, I don't know. The other day I was using AI to animate a picture of my dog because I was like, my dog is so cute. How do I draw him? And I was like, I certainly can't start. So then I asked AI to do it and then I sketched over that. But that's still not original, you know?
Nope.
Somebody created something, created that image. Yeah, so I think that, yeah, in the CTEs, no, right?
No.
We're not going to see a lot of AI.
I do see it, yeah, like you said, DMP could definitely be a big issue. I can also see it being a big issue for not only computer science, but also for radio. I'm being biased because I'm thinking about radio, but it could be used to write radio scripts, again, that aren't citing sources that could be derailing the situation or escalating it or making it more dramatic.
Yeah.
AI isn't there at the scene. They don't know what's going on. It could be like, oh, this child's having a fun day, but they're feeling a little sick. And AI is like, hey, this child just died.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what's going on. And then like with computer science, it could give a wrong code. And so like if you're trying to make like a video game or something like that, something fun, it can like code something else. It could, I don't know. I don't think this is realistic, but it could maybe give viruses. I don't know. Probably
no.
not, but I don't know.
Could it write code for a virus? But that
would
be like you directly telling the AI to do
think,
that.
Yeah. I think the way people usually get the AI to do stuff that it's not meant to do is just like in a hypothetical situation and then ask it the question. It's just a general workaround that's, I don't know if they've got it to not do that, but
Interesting.
I think something we do have to account for is that there are a lot of just tools that use artificial intelligence that maybe aren't generative, but are just tools that use it a lot and are just, they're just integrated into all kinds of products that are just, it's just what we use. I mean,
I think it's like the default now, right? Like now when you like, when I Google something instead of like, I don't know, the traditional, like, put it in the Google search bar, like, now it gives you, like, a summary.
The AI overview.
Yeah.
That
AI overview is not always correct.
Right. And I don't know. I feel like it should be easy to turn off. And it's not. Like,
it's not.
I want to, like, look at it and be like, don't show me that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I just want what I am used to. But I don't know. Then that kind of makes me sound like a boomer, right? I'm like, I don't want to.
But there was there was actually very recently an incident where a man did get severely poisoned because of advice that that he used from AI. He asked them, like, I think it was what a replacement for salt was, and they told him sodium bromide, which would be, if you don't know what bromine is a highly toxic chemical.
Oh gosh.
It's very much not good for you.
Yeah.
It normally produces gases that are terrible for your lungs. I digress. Very bad to have this, sodium bromide. He was taking it at a semi-regular basis, something as a replacement for salt. And, one thing it can cause is I think it was paranoia or hallucinations or something like that. So he was thinking his neighbor was poisoning him.
Oh, no.
When he was poisoning
And all
himself.
Of this because an AI chat bot of some sort, whether it be GPT or Google, Gemini, whatever, told him that this was a safe replacement for salt.
Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. That reminds me of, there's a show on, I think it's on HBO, like Mother God, where like this woman was like, I need to consume silver. Silver is going to heal me and make me a better person.
Yes.
And the person was literally drinking, I can't remember the form of silver, but silver. And she actually turned silver. Like she wasn't shiny or anything, but like at the end of the documentary, when you like look at her sitting in on like her couch, she's like gray.
Yep.
She's like alive, but she's gray. And of course, this is different because I don't think she got that from AI, but just on the same kind of topic. Like,
yes.
Don't listen to everything that you read on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before my last question, this is starting to make me think with AI and stuff like that. When you go to like certain social media apps or even Google, there'll be a separate button off to the side for Gemini, Meta, like the AI, whatever they have.
Yes. And now they all have like their own.
Yep.
I think a lot of them are based on GPT. Most of them are based on GPT and just trained on different data or trained on more data that's specific to it.
Yeah.
But GPT is one of the primary model that's used by most of these companies.
Right.
And this is also another thing before the last question of reminding me. Instagram has this new maps
thing. I didn't see that.
And it's just turning people's location on without asking them. It turned my location on without asking me. It asked Jacob Dean's. It turned his on, but without asking. And so we were like, what is going on? So take this as a reminder. Please make sure you're being safe. Check your Instagram. You can always turn it off if you go to the maps. There's a little like little cog gear looking thing. That's your settings. And then you can turn your map off.
I'm pretty sure what it was doing with the map is it's previewing what it would look like for you if you did have it on, but it's not actually showing your location to people.
Jacob said that my location was on.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. And his was on too.
Oh,
it was a little icky.
Yeah,
concerning.
Well, now here we are at the last question. This one is super important, and we ask everyone we interview. Okay. Do you prefer tacos or burritos?
Oh my God, tacos.
And this is why she's amazing, you guys.
Miss Audias.
Okay, look. Well.
Can't take it back. I wrote it on the board.
Good.
I hate you.
I know, but what's the tally? Tacos are winning.
Yes. Yeah. So people who do or don't know, we're going to tell you again. We have a whiteboard in our on-air room, and we have a little thing at the bottom that says burritos or tacos. Burritos has 8, and tacos has 5, 10, 15, 20 votes.
Yeah. Well, a taco is so easy to eat. A burrito is not easy to eat.
Mm-mm. Yes, it is.
No, like, how?
No.
You eat it. Like
No. If you didn't have a wrapper around the burrito, you know all of the topping, all of the filling of the burrito is going to fall out.
Yep.
You need a taco?
By the end.
I don't know where you're getting your burritos, but I have not had that problem.
Excuse me. Where are you getting your burritos?
Olé, olé.
Okay, well, first, I don't think that that's a very... And also, they don't use paper or foil to wrap their burrito.
They use paper.
Okay, but see, that's what I'm saying. If that paper wasn't there, and you were just, like, eating your burrito down the street, all of the things are going to fall out of
it
the burrito.
It doesn't, though.
Unless
Grady's just not real.
Okay, yeah, maybe Grady's not real. But a taco...
I'm just better.
But a taco is a pinch. You know, like all you do is like pinch and take
and then,
a bite.
And then suddenly, oh, it all fell out.
But here's, you don't let go of the pinch.
Yeah. And then if everything does fall out, which does happen, you can always put it in another tortilla and then make another taco.
True. That is true. And for a burrito, you can't really, I mean, you can rip like the tortilla from the burrito to then pinch the food that fell.
I think you guys are
thing.
Just bad at eating burritos.
Maybe so. Maybe we need to have...
Maybe we need to go back to... Maybe we need to figure something. I don't think we're true Mexicans.
No. No, hold on. Well, first of all, Grady's getting his burritos from Olé Olé, so I don't think that has any
I'm
validity.
Sorry. Jeez, only place my dad ever gets them, so I don't have an option here.
I'm pretty sure, like,
it's not the point where I'm getting them. It's the point that they don't fall out. So I'm saying it is possible that you can make a burrito without everything just falling out.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Not the point where. It's the point that it's doable.
Well, I was going to say, I think that also the history of the burrito is that it was, I guess, like the equivalent of a sandwich, right? It's a way of getting a lot of different food into one thing so that you don't have to worry about, oh, I need to use my fork to eat my beans, and then I need to use the knife to cut the cheese. Like, the burrito was like a way for somebody to like pack up their lunch and take it to go.
Yeah, highly versatile.
A taco is not that.
Nope.
A taco can be eaten anywhere.
This also reminds me, I love Pinterest. I use it all the time. There's these pins I keep seeing, and it was like, it's like silverware in everyone's house, and it's a picture of just like silverware, so like fork, knife, spoon, and then it said silverware in my house, and it's just a tortilla.
Yes.
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, I have an uncle who always used to say, that's not Mexican food if you can't eat it with a tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't need, if it's true Mexican food if you do not need silverware. So, mole, right? Like chocolate chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You use a tortilla to pinch off pieces of the chicken and put it in your mouth. When we eat meat, that's what a taco is. Soup, we have chips.
True. I was about to say, how would that work for like sofas or
Manuel? Or like eating beans, right? Like eating beans just like in their own broth. Like using like a tortilla chip. Like the tortilla is like the vehicle for, well, not the vehicle. It's the utensil.
Vehicle and the utensil.
The vehicle and the utensil. And that's why tacos are superior. You see, Grady, you just said it yourself.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Thank you, it's Grady. Oh my gosh,
it's the vehicle and the utensil for a burrito too.
Anyways, that's a wrap on today's interview. Thank you again. That was Señorita Arias. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, everybody, for having me. This was very fun.